reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who had planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, a third they stoned. He again sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him his produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew that he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded Jesus as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we encounter three unbelievable tales of betrayal. The first from the book of Genesis. Joseph's brothers hated him, we read, because he was loved by his father, which meant they not only hated Joseph, they also hated their father. So what did they do? They wanted to kill him. And then they threw him into a well indefinitely. And then, thinking that they were doing something moral, because after all, he was their flesh and blood, they sold him to Ishmaelites that they thought they'd never see again. Just kind of want to put yourself in those shoes for a second. To be selling your brother to a whole bunch of people to be treated as a slave, never, you think, to see him again. What had happened in the heart of these brothers? Tomorrow morning, we're going to have the parable of the prodigal son in the gospel, where that younger son basically is already treating his father as if he's dead. "Give me, Dad, even before you croak, the inheritance that will come to me when we finally bury you, so that I can spend it now." Incredible betrayal. Almost unbelievable that people could do this to their brothers. In the gospel, it gets worse. Jesus tells a parable about this land that he leased out to tenant farmers. The way the whole thing worked is they had no income. They had no hope for anything. And yet a generous landowner says, "Here, you can use my own property. Come and farm my land, and I'm going to do something great for you. Not only do I already have something that you can work from scratch, but I'll get you started. I'll plant a vineyard. I'll put a hedge around the vineyard to prevent the animals from coming in and stealing your produce. I'll dig a wine press in it and build a tower for you. And now you can come on in and do it. I've already done all this work for you. All that I ask for is what everybody asked for. You give me a share of the produce that you make off my land. The rest is yours to keep. You're able to support your families. You're able to have a nice livelihood. All of this I do for you. And what happens in the story? When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants just to obtain the produce. They beat one, stoned another, and killed the third. Sent other servants. They treated him even worse. Sent his own son, and they killed the son too. What was this all about? Same type of thing that the first reading was all about. First reading was a true story. This gospel parable was a made-up story, but with the same lesson. Sometimes we can say, how could they ever do that? Why? The other 11 heads of the tribes, what were they thinking? Well, at a simple level, we're all brothers and sisters. Every time a brother or sister is killed, we're just as bad. Every time we treat our father as dead, we're just as bad. We think we're owners of our life. We think we're owners of our yard. We think we're owners of everything rather than stewards in which God has given us so many blessings. And when he comes asking for fruit, we begin to resent it. We begin to rebel. We begin like little children sometimes to hate it when one of our brothers and sisters has really earned the Father's love. Envy eats us alive and we begin to tear them down. And so at the end of today's gospel, what happens? When Jesus asks that question, what will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes? And they basically say they deserve to die. What should happen to us whenever we treat the Father as dead? Whenever we resent the fact that our brothers and sisters are loved? Whenever we begin to think we're owners rather than stewards, we deserve to die. Are we all on that page? On Good Friday, when we look at Jesus crucified, we've got to recognize that what we deserve for doing that is nothing short of death. Because we've done just as bad as all the rest. Now, we see how God responds. What happened with Joseph? He was sold into slavery, but the Lord brought great good out of that evil. With all his talents, the talents that his father clearly saw, the talents that his brothers hated, Pharaoh quickly saw. He was able to use that to save not only Egypt, but to save his own family, whom God intended to make a great nation. By prudently saving grain, that even later Jacob and his sons would be able to receive, and the entire Jewish people would be able to come there to Egypt in order to survive, so that they would be able to return to the promised land after Moses, for God, set them free. And from that very line would come the Savior whose flesh and blood we're about to eat. God drew good even out of that incredible evil. He wouldn't let their hatred have the last word. Today's gospel, even a greater good came from that greater evil. When, after they had killed all the prophets, wave after wave after wave, that was trying to remind the people of Israel that the vineyard that they had, which was a symbol for Israel, was meant to bear fruit. That fruit, the first fruits, was supposed to go to God. They could keep the rest to support their families, all their livelihood, but the first fruits go to God. They killed the prophets, and they executed the son. And that could have been it. He could have put them all to a wretched death. But instead, he who had made himself the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, after he had been pinned to that tree, rose from the dead in order to take away the sins even of those who were killing him, to give life even to those who treated him as if he were dead. Out of hatred for his goodness, and frankly, out of hatred for a father, they preferred to have dead rather than alive because they wanted to be Lord. they didn't want to have a father. Jesus said, "Did you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected isn't lying in a dump. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It's become the foundation. The Lord has done this, and it is wonderful in our eyes." That's the wonder of what we meditate on throughout Lent. That yes, we deserve a wretched death. We have so many times cast away Jesus, the cornerstone, trying to become owner rather than steward, out of envy, out of possessiveness. But the Lord's love is even greater than our fallen humanity and our fallen desires. He wishes us to build our lives on Him, that cornerstone. As we prepare to receive Him in Holy Communion, we thank Him for this gift. We ask Him for His grace, that unlike Joseph's brothers, we might see all those around us as true brothers and sisters, and respond not with envy, but with enthusiastic, energetic love. We ask Him for the grace to see ourselves as true stewards, that everything He's given us is a blessing, and to try to bear the greatest fruit and acts of love possible from the gift of life He has given us. This is the turnaround that's supposed to happen in Lent. It's not just, again, about giving up lollipops or spending 2 seconds more in prayer or giving maybe a few bucks more to a good cause. It's about this transformation in which, being built on Christ, the cornerstone, we begin to see everybody as brothers and sisters and see the meaning of our life and how much we're able to give back to God and to others from all that the Lord has put overflowing into our lap. We celebrate today Saint Francis of Rome, a great saint who was a mother, then a widow. And while still a mom, she founded a convent in order to be able to continue that maternity in religious life. She founded a religious order that still lasts to this day there on the Palatine Hill in Rome, right next to the Colosseum. We give thanks for the gift of her life, for the gift of the fruit that she continues to bear almost 500 years later, and we ask her intercession that 500 years from now, people will talk about the fruit we bore from the unbelievably rich vineyard of which the Lord has made us.